May only His word be spoken, only His word heard. Amen. Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, is and was the happiest day that ever happened in the history of the world. It means that the Father accepted the sacrifice of Jesus for our sins and placed on Him all the punishment and wrath that we deserved. So all past, present, and future sins are placed on Jesus, and we who believe in turn are given forgiveness of sins, and even more, His righteousness and the favor of God upon us. There is that exceedingly profound word that describes all that Jesus has done for us, and that word is grace, undeserved love, perfect love, acceptance, the gift that God gives us that we didn't earn or merit or in any way deserved, He grants to us. It's almost as if it's too incredible to believe that God has done this for us. It's like those women in our gospel today. They were extremely dumbfounded, weren't they? So utterly amazed. They had no idea, and we don't know why, because Jesus had said it, that Jesus had risen from the dead. In fact, they were so afraid, they ran away, not telling anybody anything, at least for a while. The other Gospels tell us, though, that they weren't silent for long. And they told the disciples and probably many others. So what does it all mean to us today? You know, we hear people discuss the question, is there an afterlife? And Jesus announced without a shadow of doubt, yes, there is an afterlife. In fact, there's a good afterlife and there's a bad afterlife. And Jesus wants all people to have the good afterlife. The bad afterlife, of course, is not being with Him, is hell. Though He wants everyone to be there, unfortunately, that's not going to happen, is it? You know, people are talking about having the ultimate life right now, the best possible life in their present circumstances. You hear people talk that way. There are all kinds of self-help books, gurus, and life coaches that are claiming you can have the best life right now. But I'm a preacher of the Word of God, and I would say, if you're going to have the best life now, that's only possible if you're going to hell. For if that is your future destination, then this is your greatest life right now. But if we're going to heaven, the greatest life is not right now. It's up ahead of us in heaven. If you are in Christ, if you're a believer of Jesus, the pain you experience, the tragedies that you have to endure, the heartaches that come your way are the only pain, tragedies, heartaches that you'll ever experience. Because when you come to life part two, none of those things will happen to you. Now think of it this way. If you're in Christ, you are the safest person on the face of this earth. If you're in Christ. Because whatever happens to us will not last. And we're heading for heaven. But the reverse is true. The people who are in the most danger in this world are those who are not in Christ. Unless they come to their senses and believe, they're facing a horrible future. Jesus Himself repeatedly spoke about the existence of hell. And yet, that's one of the reasons He came. He didn't want anyone to go there. Ray Kurzweil is a brilliant scientist, an inventor, author, and futurist. Sometime back, he was featured on a picture on Time magazine, and the article was entitled, 2045, the year that man becomes immortal. Kurzweil has no belief in God. And yet he hungers for immortality. He has this plan to resurrect his dead father. Many of our well-known billionaires are spending huge sums in their desire to extend life, to live forever. Peter Thiel, Larry Ellison, Larry Page, Sergey Brin, and Mark Zuckerberg, and others have invested millions in trying to cure aging. They don't believe in Christ. They are not praising Jesus this Easter. They don't believe it when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." They don't buy it. They don't buy it. Our culture today is increasingly turning away from a belief in the afterlife. There seems to be a desire that there be no resurrection. The idea is taken hold, is I came into the world as nothing, and I will leave being nothing. Annihilation has become the greatest hope of a lot of people who have turned away from Christ. There is no resurrection. There is nothing after death. You know, it's really kind of a sad note that the only time people in that culture encounter the resurrection is in movies, horror movies, The Living Dead, you know, and all that sort of thing. Now, you and I can be honest about dying, contemplating our death. Have you ever contemplated your death? Have you thought about it? When I was younger, I always thought, I have more time. And I often did this, probably not a good thing, but I often found someone who was just a little bit older than me, and I saw them breaking down, their body breaking down, and I thought, I'm not. I got more time, right? Well, now I'm older, and I am breaking down. And I try very hard to contemplate my death. You see, death was not meant to be according to God's original plan. It was a punishment for sin. And as a pastor, I get to see people die. And it's not enjoyable, to say the least. And dying is not easy. And unless Christ comes again, it's inevitable. Our bodies will break down and we'll die. But on this triumphant day, we proclaim that death has been killed. Jesus did it. He killed death. It is a door now just to his home and to our home. That's what death is, a door to heaven for those of us who believe. Did you listen to that passage in Isaiah that Pastor Danny read? It said that heaven's going to be a place of feasting, of rich foods. I take that to be fatty foods. And what comes to mind for me is ribeyes and french fries and fried chicken. And for that matter, anything fried. And it said it will be a place of where we will have aged wines. Isn't it great being a Lutheran? And these wines are going to put to shame any wine from France or California. Aged wines, tremendous wines. And because we're Lutherans, great beer. And it goes on from there. In Revelation 21, it says he will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. And we will have our perfect DNA. Now, this past week, I did the funeral for one of our older members, a very faithful member, Iantha Holtz. And it was a very small funeral, just mainly family. And they had an open casket. And I went over and looked at Iantha, And she was a tennis player until late in her life. She died at 92. And I looked at her, and she looked regal, but she looked dead, right? And then I thought, she's going to come back. And all the defects of our DNA right now, because you're all defective people, let's face it, you are, because you're going to age and you're going to fall apart. Isn't that hopeful? And she's going to come back. And she's going to look like who? Iantha. It'll be her. It'll be her and her perfect DNA. No more aging, no more defectiveness in her body. She'll look like Jesus looked, only she won't look like Jesus. When you were born in the womb there, when you came out, Jesus, God broke the mold. You looked like nobody else that was ever born. And when you come back, you'll look like yourself, right? Now, when Jesus resurrected, the disciples looked at him and they thought, he's a ghost. And so Jesus, to dispel that notion and to teach us what a resurrected body is going to be like, he said, you got any food? And they brought some fish, and he started eating fish. And he said, you know, ghosts don't eat. I'm not a ghost, all right? And then he said, come on, touch me. Feel me. See? It's a spiritual body, but it's a real body. We believe in the resurrection of the body. And some people believe there's going to be boredom in heaven. You know, we're up there on a cloud and with the angels, and we're each given a harp. I don't want a harp. Do you want a harp? I like harps, but I don't want one. Right? It's not going to be boring. It's back to the Garden of Eden or back to the New Jerusalem, which is a city. So whether you like gardens or cities, there's going to be a lot to do there. In fact, it'll be an adventure that goes on and on and on. Jonathan Edwards, in one of his sermons, said the joys of heaven will accumulate as one joy is added to another joy, and on and on and on. Let me tell you what Easter means to me. It has radically colored my life. Sometimes as a pastor, and I've been one for a long time, I see people kind of at their worst. And I see what hopelessness and meaninglessness can cause to them, a pounding as it comes to them from every side. But in all humility and all kindness, I respond myself that I have this light within me in Jesus. And it gives me hope and it gives me joy. And it's not to be extinguished. It won't be extinguished. Now, it doesn't mean I don't get down at times. I do. I get down, get low, things not going my way, problems, hips giving out. As some of you know, that I had hips that gave out. And the new ones are not quite like I wanted, right? But that light is not extinguished, and my hope goes on. You know, I've heard couples say that they couldn't bring a child into this ruined world of ours. But in all kindness, again, I would respond to that. That's not a Christian sentiment. We have faith. This is not a God-deserted world. Jesus said, I'll be with you always to the end of the age. He's here with us today. We're celebrating him, but he's here, right? So we have children because they bring hope and joy to our lives and meaning. They teach us a lot. If you have children, they're teaching you right now. Driving you crazy maybe, but they're teaching you, right? It's a great world because God's in it. You and I who love Jesus, we can't live without faith in him. In a sense, we've already had a resurrection of our faith. We have a new life and a new hope in him. It has vitalized our lives. And we're determined. Aren't you going to join me in that? We're determined to leave behind some things in this life. We're going to leave behind despair, purposelessness, cruelty, sexual immorality, selfishness, cowardliness, and every kind of evil. We have been set free. We have liberty in Jesus. He's given us from the slavery of these soul-killing desires. Pastor Tony Campolo, years ago, preached a famous sermon titled, "It's Friday, but Sunday's Coming." If you were here Good Friday, you heard a bit about that from our Good Friday service. It was inspired in Tony Campolo by attending an African-American funeral. Tony was actually raised in a black church in West Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and was captivated by the dramatic way that the pastor there could preach the gospel. But at that funeral, which inspired him, a young man named Clarence had died, and the minister, the pastor, the funeral service, he was magnificent. He preached about the resurrection and talked about life after death in such glowing terms that Campolo said, "I was only 17, but I wanted to die on the spot and go to heaven." So he preached this sermon, and then he came down from the pulpit, and he came to where the family was and spoke words of comfort to them. Last of all, he went over to the open casket, and for the next 20 minutes, he preached to the corpse. Can you imagine that? He just yelled at the corpse. "Clarence, Clarence," he yelled. And with such authority, says Campolo, that I was sure that Clarence was going to answer. Well, the preacher said, "Clarence, you died too fast. You didn't give us time to thank you." He went down a litany of beautiful and wonderful things that Clarence, at a very young age, had done for people. And then he said, coming to a conclusion, "Well, that's it, Clarence. When there's nothing more to say, there's only one more thing to say. Good night, Clarence." And with that, he went right to the casket, and he slammed it shut. "Good night, Clarence. Good night, Clarence." And then with a much lower voice, he said, "Good night, Clarence." And then he raised his voice and said, "Because I know, God knows, he's going to give you a good morning." And with that, the choir jumped up. Got to imagine this. I should have had people out there ready to do this, you know. "On that great getting up morning, we shall rise." And people were up on their feet in the aisles, and they were hugging and kissing each other and dancing, and probably some teenage boys were taking advantage of the situation and kissing some girl, right? And Campolo said, "I knew I was at the right church where they can take a funeral and make it into a celebration. Good night, Clarence. Good night, Clarence. Because I know God's going to give you a good, good morning." So it's Easter, and you're here, or you're watching us. It's good that you're here. This is a day we should celebrate, and we should worship the Lord and put our faith in Him. Because Jesus is calling you by name. Oh, He knows your name. He knows your name. And He's calling you to believe and keep on believing. Life part two. Heaven's where we're going. And I guarantee you, it'll be a good, good, good morning for you. In Jesus' name and to His glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's rise up and kiss one another. No, no. I got carried away. So excuse me, take that back. Don't even look at each other. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus now and always.